I just feel like, you know, God, it says that heaven is paved in gold, and King Solomon was the wealthiest man to ever live, and Abraham was well provided for. Jesus was provided for by wealthy women who gave to his ministry. That's what the Bible says. The Proverbs 31 woman is an entrepreneur. She saw the field, she bought it. It was a vineyard, she created a vineyard. She saw her products were good, she took them to market. So for me, I think that God has always wanted us to step into that realm, especially as women.
Calling all his mighty messengers to the front lines, to the microphones, to the stages, to the bookshelves, to the digital platforms and beyond. This is Marketplace Ministry, and you are invited to join the movement as a messenger. I'm Tamara Andress, the one on the mic, but I honestly see it as a machete to cut through the lies, declare truth, transform narratives, and catalyze Christians like you and me to speak, write, build, and testify. I'd blow a trumpet right now if I could. This is a clarion call. It's not just time to rise. It's time to vocalize unfiltered, uncompromising, unashamed, and undeniably bold. Together, we will turn your message into a movement, igniting global change, making disciples of nations, and touching the lives of billions by doing business God's way. This is not just another podcast to listen to and get stuck into a knowledge cycle with new information. It's an initiation into a transformative movement where isolated entrepreneurship is no more and the hustle and grind biz building is not welcome. We are operating from Sabbath rest and focused on sustenance, not success. Let's go, y'all. Welcome to the Messenger Movement. You guys, I'm so excited for you to meet my new friend, Natalie Breckenridge. And she is someone that I've been following on social for a long time. And I feel like the Lord just keeps gifting me, I'll say. I was going to say inviting, and there's probably an invitation in the process, but gifting me an opportunity to connect with women who are pursuing God in such a radical way from a testimony that has a lot of trials and tribulations, and they're serving out of that place of abundance on the other side because they face the fire. And Natalie is one of those people. She is a kingdom coach. She's an author. She's a pastor. She's all of these things when it comes to serving out of God's love and light for the world. And so, Nat, I'm excited to have you. And I hope you
know,
because I told you we're new friends and I totally just nicknamed her.
Yes. I've been called Nat more recently than I have like ever before. So I love it. You go for it.
Okay. So Natalie, I want people as they're tuned in to first off get some context for who you are. I gave them a little bit of a backstory just now, but can you give us like the good backstory? Where did it start? How do you say yes to Christ?
Yeah, for sure. So today I am a full-time pastor. I've been in full-time ministry now for 8 years. My husband and I pastor NEA Hub in Jonesboro, Arkansas. Wife, mama, author, entrepreneur, all the things. But in my salvation experience is a really radical one, as you kind of alluded to. I was a stripper, strung out on drugs, homeless, living in a vehicle. It was a crazy, crazy ordeal. And I was seeking help. And I was actually seeking help from churches. I was going to churches. I was looking for help. And I was even turned away at different churches, religious gatherings. They would turn me away because of my story, because of the sin that was in my life. I even had some people tell me, you know, you have demons and we don't really deal with that kind of a thing here.
Yes.
And they said, so we will need a specialist to come and deal with all of the demons. And they were right. I did. I did have demons. Exactly. And they kind of sent me along my way with the devils and all. And fortunately, I was invited to a powerful, powerful gathering where I received deliverance and I was radically set free. I gave my life to Jesus, and that was almost 11 years ago now. And I've been sober, delivered, on fire, whole ever since.
Praise God. That's incredible. It's so funny. Without even knowing that, didn't know that story before we got on. I was like, this is a show. Like, if deliverance is the ministry, like, let's go. And I just named that one randomly because there's a lot of other ministries and intentions, but I really am in the space of learning more and more about deliverance ministry, the power that it has and the necessity that it is, because I think more so than not, a lot of people who are prodigal have open doors to people and portals and Satan and the devil and whoever you want to call it, however you want to call it, legions that are literally walking around occupying people's vessels and they need help. So the fact that you were even asking for help is powerful in and of itself, because I'm sure that did not make the legion that was a part of you happy.
No, not at all. Not at all. And, you know, it's crazy because I had come to kind of the end of myself in my desperation to just feel better. You know, I was dealing with being demonized like that and dealing with addiction and just that lifestyle. You know, there's just such a depressive state that comes with it. And I had really come to the end of myself. And I remember sitting in my, and I've not ever shared this testimony publicly. So this is a, I guess you could say, exclusive. Yeah. I remember sitting in my apartment and kind of coming to the conclusion like, well, the church can't help me. So maybe the devil can. And I kind of turned to that. And I look back now, and it was 2 weeks after I made kind of that heart posture and kind of that decision of like, well, maybe I'll just pursue darkness because the light isn't doing anything. At least that was my perception. That wasn't the truth, but that was my perception. It was about 2 weeks after that that God intervened. Like, he knew. He had to intervene himself because I went to the places that should have helped and there wasn't any help. So I completely agree with you that there's so many that they are walking around not fully understanding why the torment is there. And so, yeah, deliverance is powerful.
Yeah. So talk to me about like the evolution after that point. Were you married at that point yet? Were you mama yet 11 years ago?
No, so it's crazy. So,
pastors together. Okay, I'm
curious. Yeah, so I married a pastor, and it was wild. So, I got radically saved and delivered in May, and I started feeling this very interesting unction to get married, and I started telling the women who were discipling me, I was like, I feel called to get married. And they said, you don't even have a boyfriend. You have to have a boyfriend to get married. And they're like, you know, you can't just get married. And I said, well, God is like calling me into marriage. And they were like, that doesn't make any sense. And so they told me, they said, you need to start praying for your husband. And you just, you know, if the Lord is putting that on your heart, then the best thing that you can do right now is pray for your husband. And I was like, pray for him to like come into my life. And they're like, no, like just, yeah, I had no grid for this Christianity thing. I had none. I wasn't raised in church. So I was like, what do you mean pray?
Teach me. Right.
Yeah. So they said, no, you pray for him, like pray for his relationship with the Lord, like pray that he is blessed, pray that he's coming into deeper alignment with Jesus. And I was like, oh, okay. So I prayed for him for 7 days. And on the seventh day, I got a message from this guy named Zach Breckenridge. And he was someone I went to high school with, but I didn't even like really remember. I mean, I remembered him, but like, he wasn't like a key component to my life. Sure. And he messaged me and was like, hey, I'm a pastor. I saw that you were getting baptized. I'm just so proud of you, this and that. And the Lord spoke to me and said, that's your husband. Uh-huh. And I had not seen him in 6 years. I literally texted back and said, this is my phone number. Call me. And my husband is not that kind of a guy at all. So like he texted me and I called him and he said, hello. I'm so bold. This is just how I am. The single girls in our church, they hate it because I'm like, you need to just go, just be, yeah. You just need to go forth, you know? But he answered, I said, what are you doing? And he was like, I'm going to get ice cream with my roommate. He was in seminary, so his seminary roommate. And I was like, okay, are you married? He said, no. I said, are you engaged? He said, no. I said, do you have a girlfriend? He said, no. I said, okay, good. Well, keep texting me.
Oh my God.
We were married 4 months later. Yes. I know. And it's crazy because he was a Southern Baptist, full-time missionary in Southern Baptist Seminary. And here I am, like, I've been saved for like 7 days. I'm baptized in the Holy Spirit. They've cast demons out of me. Yeah.
So in the process of like getting to know him, obviously via a phone, were you like, I wouldn't say like, did you get into the deep end of what is and who is and all the things Jesus very quickly? Or was it more of like a slow, I mean, because I feel like I got in really quickly, but I feel like even 8 years later, the Lord is still taking me deeper and deeper and deeper. And I'm seeing more of who he is and more of what we're called to do here on earth as it is in heaven. And I'm sure your husband was a little bit further along, if you will. So how was that? How was that?
Yes, he was majorly further along. Yeah. My husband is like one of the smartest, like our spiritual covering apostle, Ronald Strange. Like he always says, Zach is like a theological genius. Like he is, there's no sermon without the original language being delved into. Like he's like, got a full ride scholarship in like 10th or 11th grade. Like he is insanely smart. And I was over here like, I've been sober 7 weeks, you know, 7 days. I love Jesus. So we dove into it like immediately, like that was the foundation. That was the connecting piece, was Jesus. And so it was really interesting because, you know, he was clearly Southern Baptist and I wasn't. And, you know, just the theological, we didn't butt heads because the Lord told me to submit to him. So I did. But it was quite the journey, to say the least, but
only imagine. And now, so then fast forward, you're raising children, knowing the Lord, praying in the Spirit, like so different than how you were raised. So how was that experience?
Yeah, well, I was raised by my grandparents because my mother passed away when I was 7. And I was told that my father passed away when I was 6. So when I was 18, I found out my father was alive. And it was crazy, crazy. But I was raised, you know, in a Christian home.
Sure.
Like they loved Jesus. They would tell you, you know, they would tell me Jesus is Lord, but like we didn't go to church. We didn't pray. Like I don't even know if there was a Bible in our house, you know?
Yeah.
So the difference was massive because my husband had somewhat of a blueprint to follow, you know, in a family dynamic with Christ,
yeah,
because of his family. But I had no blueprint. I was just like, we're winging it. Okay. Like
they're going to love Jesus. So they're going to have a Bible by the end.
Yes. Yes. So it was quite a bit different, but I will say that dependency on Holy Spirit, it's really in so many ways been a major blessing because I just go into every situation like, well, God will tell me how to do it because he's going to have to because I don't have a blueprint. So,
wow. Wow. Unbelievable. And how old are they now?
So we have Isabel and she is 6. And then we have 2 that are with Jesus. So
gosh, I thought you had 2 for some reason. So you have 2 that
well,
Jesus. Did you lose them when they were?
We had a miscarriage, went in like our second year of marriage, and then last year I had an ectopic pregnancy and it ruptured and I died and was resurrected, and it was really crazy. But that's probably why you thought we had to. I'm very, very vocal about the loss that we had last year. So
okay, that's really what I thought. So that, how far along, because ectopic pregnancies can't last very long, right? Because it could really hurt you.
Yeah. We don't actually know how far along I was. We think somewhere between 6 and 8 weeks.
Yeah. Oh gosh, I'm so sorry to hear that. It's an interesting like ministering place though, because I feel like more and more people are vocal about that loss, even miscarriages. And there's even, I think, an element of shame when somebody has carried one longer, or someone has lost a child who has been birthed, and there, it seems like there's like a hierarchy of like, well, you were really a mom, or you were a mom for this amount of time. And it's like, that is not Jesus's heart for motherhood at large. It's in, right. His heart is perfection and multiplication. And so have you already been able to like support women even as you were walking through and sharing that story?
Absolutely. We have one specific family that came to our church because they heard the testimony and they had walked through that exact same thing. And it's been quite interesting because almost every spiritual daughter or best friend that I have got pregnant at either the exact same time or they have gotten pregnant since then. So like one of my very best friends, she gave birth on like the day after my due date. So it has been very interesting to navigate that because, you know, there's oftentimes the assumption that because you've had loss that you have a perspective when other people have life and you've had loss. And I really appreciate that conversation being brought up because, like, for me, I never felt that. And so, you know, I was always very happy for everyone because I'm a firm believer that if we can't celebrate what God has done in someone else, it will make it all the more difficult for it to be done for us. And I'm that way with business, with, you know, success, with wealth, with my friends that have babies, you know, my friends that have very large ministries. Like, I just always look at it and I'm like, wow, it's inspiring to me. It doesn't hurt me. It's been interesting to navigate. And I do think that by being so open about it, we do kind of lessen that shame because there is this whole other narrative that I've heard no one talk about. And honestly, I've not talked about it even publicly, that somehow the loss speaks to your right standing with God.
I knew you were going to say that. I'm so glad you brought this.
And like, too, you know, especially when you're a strong woman and, you know, people love to throw around that Jezebel word because you're a strong woman in any area. People just throw around that word, and it specifically talks about like her children dying. And so that was brought up during all of that with me. And it was so difficult to, you know, just to sit with the reality that like people have that kind of perspective of God, that he would do that to punish or to, you know, to cause that kind of.
It's so important. And I think that that's in so many different ways. And you think about that from even a layer of Job, right? Like God didn't do that, right? God allowed it. And people think about that side of it and they don't understand that like the enemy was at play. It's also, you see this time and time again, biblically, the generational connections. We also have a huge environmental shifts that have happened now versus biblical times that we can't even put a finger to now, like the food that we eat and the exposures that we have. I mean, the list goes on and on. I got fear around the fact that when I had taken birth control for many years because I was not in my faith and I was not, I did not wait till marriage. And so I was in that place of just, yeah, I need birth control, right? Like, this is the solution to my sin. This will fix everything and nothing will go wrong. And yeah. I remember having a lot of fear when I went to go get pregnant, and I was not in my faith still at this point. So I really feel like the fear was implanted from the enemy, actually knowing this now that I wasn't going to be able to. And I have a lot of friends who deal with things like thyroid disease and just a lot of things that you don't know what you don't know. And what's happening environmentally has nothing to do with God's will or lack thereof for your life.
Yeah. Yes. You know, my husband and I were very fortunate to figure out what did actually harm my fallopian tube that caused everything to happen. And it's exactly what you're saying. It was things that were outside of my understanding. I didn't know to do X, Y, and Z. And exactly what you said, we had to do such a deep dive. No, this is a sin-fallen world. Even down to the coffee that I'm drinking right this second, like, I don't know where it came from. I don't know what chemicals were sprayed on it. Like, you know what I bring into my home, and I know when I purchase groceries and my intentionality in that. But like, when I go to Panera and grab a coffee, I don't know, you know, what's happening.
True.
So, yes, that was quite the journey.
They're marginalizing God in that moment because it makes sense to them and they want it to make sense, and they will make things make sense even if it's to the detriment or harm or fallacy of it, which is ultimately holding tight to something the enemy wants them to believe. It causes chasms in our relationships. It causes chasms in, I think, the body of Christ. When we can sit over, and because we know the Bible and we know what Jezebel means or what a Jezebel spirit is, that anybody would even have the audacity to point that out in that direction just shows me a spirit of religiosity more than it does a spirit of compassion, right? That is terrible. I'm sorry you had to walk through that. And I'm really glad that the conversation ended up leading into that without me even having any understanding of it. I hope that people are listening to Natalie and they're thinking about being more graceful in the way that they perceive somebody else's situation when we have such a limited view on it, and that there is so much more that God wants out of his people, his children, in situations like that. And it's ultimately just abiding.
Yes. And asking questions, you know, like asking people, like, how are you with this? Like, how is it going? How do you feel? What are your thoughts? Because it's like you said, you know, the Lord, he uses all things, but he doesn't cause all things, right? Like in John 10:10, it says the devil comes to kill, steal, and destroy, but Jesus came to give life and life more abundantly. And yes, I really appreciate that conversation being brought up as well, because anyone that's listening that's ever had that kind of loss, that is someone of great faith, especially faith that believes that God heals and that he restores, and in tongues and in prophecy, you know, in that section, we get this idea. And it's funny because I literally posted a reel about this seconds before I got on here. We believe that if God can heal, then we'll never suffer. If God can heal, we'll never go through trial. But that's not Bible. The Bible is very clear that no matter what our theological persuasion is, we will see fiery trials here on this earth. Yeah. And not to count it strange when that happens. So, yeah.
Count it all blessings. Count it all joy, right? When you trials and tribulations. So go back a little bit, because I think it's important as people are processing being spiritually yoked, right? And understanding what that walk looks like. I find, especially with entrepreneurs, especially women entrepreneurs, people who are like, they're like, I'm going after it. I'm so excited. I know the call that God has on my life. I want to step into, we call it businessry, right? Business as mission, whatever that language is for you. But they don't have either a support at home, their spouse is not supporting them in their endeavor, and or they are like the spiritual head of their home at this season. What encouragement, what wisdom can you bring to that table and helping people kind of bust through what could be a huge holdup for them pursuing their God dream.
Yeah, for sure. Well, you know, I can think back to when I wanted to step into digital course creation. And I remember saying to my husband, you know, I want to step into this. I've done all this research on passive income. And this was in like, you know, 2019. So this was before passive income was a buzzword. This was before everyone and their mother had an e-course, you know, this was kind of like at the forefront of it all. And I'm like, God is really talking to me about being a business owner and passive income course creation. And my husband was like, can't you just write books? Like, I thought that's what, you know, God called you to do, just write books. And I'm like, I have written books and I will continue to write books. But like, I also feel like God's called me to do this too. And I remember, you know, my husband, I'm very blessed in the sense that he's a spirit-filled man of God. And so he's by all means a strong spiritual leader. And so I have always taken the word of God very serious. And I've always had this perspective of like, if I submit to Zach in an area, even that I disagree in, God's ultimately going to bless that. And I would pray. And I'm like, God, please talk to Zach about this. Like, please make a way where I can do this. And I even had it from the leaders that were in my life at that time. And, you know, they're incredible men and women of God, but they did not agree that you could be in ministry and in business. They had a firm stance against it. And in 2021, I came back to it and I'm like, Zach, I have to do this. Like, I know God is calling me to do this. And he was like, okay, babe, give it a go. So I did. And since then, you know, oh my gosh, our lives have been radically changed, like radically changed. And now my husband's like, oh my God, I thank God you started this business. Like, you know, because we were just pastors before and we're in pastors in Arkansas. Like, you know, I mean, it's like,
put that out there, y'all. It's pastors in Arkansas. Yeah, I could understand.
Yeah. So like, even though we are full-time with our church, like full-time income in Arkansas compared to full-time income in other places, like them, you know, so my encouragement to anybody that's in that place is pray for, you know, your husband, pray for your spouse, like pray that God would bring them into that place of seeing it. Because I feel like oftentimes God will show either the husband or the wife, he'll show one of you first. And that's kind of been like a key narrative for me and Zach. Like one of us will see it before the other one sees it, and intercession for them and just prayer that like, God, if it's you, you'll speak it to them too. Because when you go in unity, oh wow, it's like, it's so much better when you're unified in it.
So powerful, and something I'm really passionate about. Like when I'm talking to someone, I'm like, even if they don't agree, I'd love to just chat with them. I'd love to just encourage them to be an encourager in this season for you, because it's not something like you turn the light switch on and then all of a sudden it happens, right? It's like a build. And as you're building anything, like you need that encouragement. I can only imagine Noah and his bride and his children and the ones who got to go on the boat. Like, they're, Dad, you're crazy, but we're going to encourage you. Just keep following.
Yes.
We know you're a man of God. We're just going to encourage you. We'll help when we can. And that was what kept him going in addition to God said. And so there is a level of obedience that sometimes does come with it. And I never want a bride or a husband to ever supersede what is the nucleus and the foundation of their family and their marriage covenant. With a business idea, because I don't believe God is going to be like, just blaze the trail and then they'll jump on. I really love your heart around, let there be a consensus, let there be a firm foundation that is connected. Even if they can't see the same vision, just to know that they have your blessing is so powerful.
Yes, I would say to Zach, like, let me prove it to you. I will work hard. And like, if it doesn't work, then fine. But like, let me try for me. Just let me try because I need to know if I can do this.
Yeah.
And his heart was just so pure. And he's like, I'm going to let you try for you. But like, he was pretty confident it wasn't going to work. Like, he was pretty, because I was investing in a business coach and it was a $5,000 investment. And I mean, that's a weighty investment, you know, for anyone.
Yeah.
But especially for us, because it was like a full credit card investment, you know, like it wasn't savings. It was just credit card. And I'm like, Zach, worst case scenario, this is just debt. Best case scenario, I make $1 million and change our lives. And I've not made the million yet, but I'm very, very close. So our life has been changed.
So good. What, Natalie, was the first course concept? And is it still what you're utilizing as the foundation as you continue to grow?
Yeah. So my very first offer is still something that I offer. It's called She Is Confident. So it's a confidence coaching program for Christian women, helping them go from insecure and unsure to confident and bold so that they can fulfill all God's calling them to and live in a lasting confidence. It's a 6-week program and it was my very first offer. I was shocked that I did 30K my very first month. That was like, you know, almost a year's salary for me. Like it was, yeah, it was mind boggling. And I leveraged neuroscience and biblical principles to really bring about mindset shifts that ultimately lead to confidence. I do still offer that. And we kind of evolved though from there, and I've had different offers since then. But yeah, that was like my baby whenever I rolled it out.
Good. So good. And as God was speaking to you initially in 2019, did the idea evolve or change in that 2-year time frame because of COVID? Did that have any play in like what it was that you wanted to present? Or e-courses were like what you knew was the thumbprint?
Well, I had kind of always wanted to do e-courses because I found someone that I just really liked and that's what she did. And I followed her. So that influence was really heavy for me. But in 2019, I had no idea what I would offer.
Okay.
I just have had kind of like this, I don't know if you could call it blind confidence. I don't know what you would call it. Well, it really came from, okay, I had a job when we first moved here and I was a door-to-door sales rep for a staffing company. Okay. Staffing.
That's crazy.
Yes. So I would go business to business and I would have to like have this whole process that I would go through to sell staffing of all things. And I got pregnant during that time and I was about to leave for maternity leave. And I look back now and it had to have been God because I don't think I would have thought about this at that time, but it just, an idea popped in my mind and I was like, I wonder how much money I brought into this company by myself this year.
Ooh, good question.
Yes. So this was 2017. So I sat down, I looked at all my contracts and I looked at all the money that I brought into that company and I had brought in $1.1 million. And I was like, I'm selling something I don't even care about. Half the time I'm not even trying because I'm so pregnant. I'm just here for the insurance at this point. I want out so bad. I would rather be doing anything other than this. And yet I sold $1.1 million and a light bulb just kind of went off in my head at that point. And I'm like, I could probably sell anything if I could sell that. So fast forward to 2019, I was just kind of like, I don't know what I'm going to sell, but I bet whatever I sell a bunch of it. You know,
that's so good. That's so good. And I think as people are processing this, I talk about being a millionaire messenger a lot. And it's not about necessarily making that 7 figures in 1 year, though I am obviously a massive proponent of if someone has been able to steward the little, I believe that they should have the much because we need it in the kingdom. That's what we're here to do, is to multiply Amen. And to expand. And at the same time, there's this scarcity mentality. And I'd love to know if you've had this encounter either with people who have come in through business coaching with you now that you've had this growth, and or in your potential, your church population, because you said that the leaders were like, no, you can't have a business and ministry. Has that thought changed? Have they seen this growth and the poverty mentality kind of shift as well into this abundance mindset, which is biblical?
Yeah. Yes. So throughout like our tenure over the last 8 years with our church, the oversight of the church went through a transition in 2020 because we stepped into revival. And when we stepped into revival, the overseers, they lovingly wanted to hand us off because they had never stewarded revival before. And they did not know, they were like, we don't even know how to pastor you through this. So that's when they handed us off to Apostle Ryan Lestrange. And he is an avid proponent for ministers being in business. Yep. And that was kind of like green light, put the pedal to the metal here, go as fast as you can. And that really helped me step out and start. But yeah, to this day, especially whenever I'm having an offer that's about business coaching, sometimes I will tactfully income share. And I income share because if I'm going to teach you how to, create, launch, and scale an online business, I would hope that you have that you care that I've made money in the space, because that's kind of the result we're after, right? It's like, if someone's going to teach you how to work out, I hope they know how to work out, right? So 100%.
Please show me that you have the capacity to have abs. Great. Okay.
Exactly. If you don't have abs, I don't want you to teach me how to have abs.
Exactly.
So I found it, I was honestly surprised when I started kind of like income sharing, how quickly even people that I was surprised that they didn't, that they had more of a scarcity and a poverty mindset. And so I have encountered it, to answer that part of the question. But for me personally, I just feel like, God, it says that heaven is paved in gold. And King Solomon was the wealthiest man to ever live. And Abraham was well provided for. Jesus was provided for by wealthy women who gave to his ministry. That's what the Bible says. The Proverbs 31 woman is an entrepreneur. She saw the field. She bought it. It was a vineyard. She created a vineyard. She saw her products were good. She took them to market. So for me, I think that God has always wanted us to step into that realm, especially as women. Yeah. And Proverbs 10:22, it says the blessing of the Lord maketh rich and he adds no sorrow. So that's kind of like my life verse. So I've encountered it, but I'm thankful I've overcome it.
Yeah. Well, and your backstory connected to that is like what work to money looks like versus what wealth is. And I think that's where a lot of people get confused, is like, wealth is not just a tangible dollar. Wealth is the abundance of fruit and the resources in which we get to exchange internally. And yes, money comes a part of it, because money's always been a part of the equation. Gold has always been a part of the equation. If that's where it started, it's going to be where it finishes. And so I love that you're just bold in sharing that part. And I think that that's an attraction quality that doesn't diminish your fruit. It just provides other people access to the fruit that they've yet to receive, right? To be able to see, and to see it in truth, because that's something that I've noticed and have seen as well. Actually, my first business coach that I got several years ago, I saw fruit in this format. It was her in front of a plane, wearing really a fancy outfit, right? And she was a business coach. And I saw her in front of mansions. And I stroked a $12,000 credit card, not check, because check is not really a thing anymore. But I did that. And it hurt, right? It was like one of those moments where you're like, this is a huge decision. And in the midst of that, come to find out on the inside, I had a direct conversation with her about my faith. And she spoke to me directly about God, and this was God of the universe, and I did not know this. And so I got into the internal support system of her training, of her coaching, found out that those were just photography ploys in order to attract people. And that's the way that you do it. That's you be it until you become it. But that's literally a lie. And that a lot of the things that were happening weren't true. And in the midst of it, they're talking to me about the stars and the cards and all these things. And I'm like, what in the world did I just get access to? And there's no turning back when you do things like that. Contracts and the way that they do it, they're tight. And I had no choice but to say, okay, God, I'm going to be here. I'm going to be a light in the midst of this space. And I want you to teach me everything that you possibly had planned for me to feel like there was a green light on behalf of me and my husband to make this investment. And I realized after the program, which was a year-long program, that I learned everything not to do. And if you learn everything not to do, God will prepare you to be the standout for everything that somebody does need and how to do it accurately and biblically. And so it stunk. And also I converted that money back so quickly when I started understanding what it was that God was shaping me for in that time. And it was my children are being lured by con artists, and you have to work out integrity, and you have to work out of a place of joy, and you have to share true fruit and true wealth rather than the fictitious, like, more money, less problems, right? Is what most people are sharing, right?
Yes.
So,
that's so encouraging though, because like even with me, you know, bringing back the income sharing, you know, I was sharing like screenshots of like my Stripe account and stuff. And my heart in it was, you know me, you know, to my audience, you know me, you know the house I live in, you know my story, you know the church I pastor, but yet this is the kind of wealth that is available to those of us that will step into this online space, step into this, you know, business mountain, if you could call it that, and really, you know, begin to take back wealth and bring it into the kingdom of God. And what you just shared encouraged me all the more, because you're right. Like, there are so many situations where what's being shared is not authentic. And I have said and really hold fast to the business, the online business world is becoming the new covens. It is becoming the new witches and warlocks, and they are getting rich. I have yet to have a single business coach, and I've had a few that don't talk about manifestation, law of attraction, you know, the universe, the stars. I had one lady that I was thinking about working with, and I was so thankful that I didn't pull the trigger on it, because she had a whole story about her tarot cards and her business based on her menstruation. And it's getting wilder and wilder. Like, you know, and we need people. Like today, I did a live on my Facebook talking about the prophetic edge in business. We need people that are going to talk about it. No. We're not manifesting anything. If you my saying is, if you manifest around here, we're casting it out.
Yeah.
Yes. That manifesting means you have a devil. That's what that means. And for me, it's like they've taken faith principles and they have perverted them. And they're like, but see what I do works, Well, it works because there's a law of faith.
Yes.
It's like gravity works whether you believe in God or not. The law of faith works whether you believe in God or not. So you can put whatever name you want on it. So
the sorcerers, when Moses was doing everything God told him to do, the sorcerers were brought in and did the exact same thing, right? But then there was the next level of faith. There was the next level of access where they're like, oh, I can't do that. I can't create all these other plagues. I could do the first few, but I can't touch that. And so I think that's where God is asking his children to be obedient and steadfast. And this is where patience and long suffering, which are a fruit that people don't like to hold tight to, but we have to endure. We have to keep going. And I know that there is the overarching, you know, most businesses fail at the 1 year mark, and then there's the 3 year mark, and then there's the 5 year devastation that can happen. It's the don't stop, do it, you know, like, let's go.
Yes.
We need you to endure. And that endurance is where, like, even you're saying, like, I'm not to that seven figures yet, but it's coming. And it's the
nothingness
because of the faith and because of the trust and because God told you. And so Moses didn't know that he was going to face somebody else coming in and alluring the Pharaoh to have a belief system. But it also was a part of what allowed the Pharaoh's heart to be hardened. It said God hardened his heart because he had a bigger thing in mind. So if you've been with coaches who have talked about these other things, it's like, God is going to allow you to keep a soft heart so that you can then serve out of that place of humility and integrity. And it stunk in the middle of it, but I'm so grateful on the other side of it. And we now have eyes to see. And it's so critical for us to be vocal as you are being vocal about these lies and the truth that's being tainted and perverted. It's true. And it's devastating to the people who don't see it with clear eyes.
Yes. And you said something that I honestly have never heard anyone else say, which gets me so excited because I'm like, oh, okay, so the Lord's telling other people this. But something that Norval Hayes, he's going to be with the Lord now, but something that he would say, he was a great faith minister. He would say, faith doesn't wear a watch. And that the fruit of patience pairs beautifully with the gift of faith. And when I teach on faith, I talk about this exactly what you're saying, that we have to have patience in faith. You know, if we're only going to do it, okay, so like we say, I start the business. Okay, well, I didn't get a sale in month one, so I'm going to quit. Or I didn't get a sale in month three, I'm going to quit. Or it didn't explode by year one, I'm going to quit. Okay, well, that was never faith.
Yeah.
That was never faith, because faith says, I'm doing this and I know it's going to work. And if I have to do it for a time, then I'm going to do it for a time. It's that consistency that you're speaking of. I love that you brought that up, because if you have faith, but you don't have patience, the faith will be very short-lived.
Yeah, it's so true. And people need to, they talk about know, like, and trust, right, in the world. Like, they need to know, like, and trust you before they're going to convert with you. Well, if you just launch your business because God just gave you this idea, you have to give your community that you don't necessarily have yet enough to trust you. And trust is not come easy, though. I love your husband's level of trust. And he's like, this is the girl for me.
You know, God had to talk to him. At first, he was like, whoa, sis. Like, back up.
It's so good. I see this often, especially when you are sharing income statements and things like that. People forget that it was not done yesterday. And even in the launch, that God had been working on you for 2 years to that point for you to launch that thing. And so there's always a backstory. There's this imagery that my husband and I talk about all the time. It's like, people will say, you know, oh man, if only I had what you have, right? And there's a coveting kind of spirit to that. And you're like, yeah, but do you want to go through what I went through to have
exactly?
And no, I don't want anybody to have to go through what we went through in our marriage. I don't want anybody to have to go through what they went through in my childhood. I don't want them to have to do that. And so for God to then use that thing to create a platform for him to be glorified, like, let's look in your messy, you know, Pandora's box, and then we can discover what God wants you to build your life on. But it's not the bright and shiny now. It's really the testimony of where you've been. And that's what is going to glorify God, because it's going to keep you in a space of humility.
Yes. I had someone say to me this past weekend, they said, wow, I just want what you have. And I just, you know, was like, yeah, I just smiled. And like, I knew what she meant. But my initial thought was, you don't want your mom to die at 7. You don't want to find your dad at 18. You don't want to have ectopic pregnancy, die, be raised from the dead in your garage floor. Like, you don't want to go through what we went through 8 years planting this church. Like, you don't, I love what you said, because the crushing is what brings the oil. So when we see oil on someone's life, they did not wake up one day with that oil. They went through a process, most of the time gut-wrenching, that produced within them what it is we are now all publicly getting to be blessed from. It's like Apostle Paul says in 2 Corinthians, he said, this momentary light affliction is producing within us an eternal weight of glory. And he says, if I am suffering in the flesh, it's for your benefit. And it's like that eternal weight of glory that's deposited in us during that temporal suffering. The world gets to eat from it. They get to glean from it. They get to love it. That's the part that they get, but it doesn't come without the crushing and the trial that produced it.
Yes, girl, this is so good. You guys, I'm like over here, like deep sighing and just taking in the goodness, because it's truly the oil, Natalie, of your life that is so evident, even to strangers on the internet, like I was. And so I am so blessed by that. And if we can just remember when we're going to post that it isn't about the numbers, it's about the access and the points of access that the Lord is going to use to bless other people, to call them higher, to invite them into relationship with you like we've been able to today. I mean, we just don't have to pay attention. We have to leave all of that into the hands of the Lord. And when he says, make the e-course, make the e-course. When he says, post the post, post the post. I have a girlfriend who posted, God was literally talking to her about content, and she had never had a TikTok account. And her husband's like, what? We're not going to do all that. She had two small kids. What are you doing? She said, the Lord just keeps telling me I'm supposed to post content. I'm supposed to post content. So she posted one video, and it was a video of her two kids on a sled riding down her front driveway that then it kept going down the road. And they're like, mom, going down the road. She got a call from the Kelly Clarkson show, woke up the following morning with 24 million views. And she's been on the Kelly Clarkson show twice. She has an entire social media business that started from it. And she's like, well, I think I heard from God.
Wow, that's amazing.
Amazing. So it's our obedience, even when things sound crazy, or you don't necessarily see the natural fruit of followers or whatever it is. It's the patience. I think at the end of the day, that's what you had, even at the forefront of this conversation, you had the patience to say, I'm going to go to this church again. Oh, they're turning me away. I'm something's here for God. And even when you turn to the dark, God was patient with you in that process until he wasn't. And he is like, now's the time. And he was right there for you. And that's an incredible continuing conversation that I hear time and time again, is in the pit of our despair when there is nothing else and we're at the end of me. God's there. He's never forsaken us.
Yes. Amen. Amen. That's so good.
This has been so, so rich. I know you have a book, and I've got all the links below, continued books that are coming out. You guys have got to follow Natalie and all the stages that you're landing right now, that God is literally putting you on when it comes to your prophetic anointing, when it comes to your voice and the way that you just sing and just live out loud in the forefront of your faith. It's so beautiful and so needed for such a time as this. I'm so grateful that Ryan LaStrange was literally brought into your life when he was, so that you can do it not just from the ministry perspective, but from the business tree perspective. So, because business is a mountain and it's a mantle that is not everyone's going to be willing or brave enough to do it. And yet you're blessing so many people in the process. You're expanding the kingdom by your business. And that's the beauty of it.
Thank you. I really, really appreciate that more than you know.
Well, I see you and I want your white suit. So,
yes, Dillard's. Yes, yes, absolutely.
So thankful to have you. Are there any final words that you want to share with the community? Perhaps you've shared before, or you just feel like it's like a stake in the ground for what God is having you do right now?
Yeah, for sure. The Lord is raising up Josephs in this season, and you have to go first. You have to go in Pharaoh's house. And then 2024 is a year of the grain gatherers. It is time to gather grain like never before. And so for anyone watching, anyone listening, you're feeling an urgency to build in business. I have more women telling me right now that they are feeling urgency to build in business. than ever before. And that is because you are a Joseph. And I believe that, you know, fear of the Lord leads to life, as it says in the Bible. So I don't want to speak from a place of fear or cause fear. However, there's a sobering prophetic warning of what is in the pipeline, demonically speaking, over the next few years. And I believe that those that heed the word of the Lord in this season, there's a Goshen. But Goshen doesn't come without the grain gathering. And so I just encourage anyone listening, you are a Joseph. This is a Joseph generation. And unashamedly, unapologetically, gather grain in your storehouse for you and your legacy in this hour. I release the word of the Lord over you and pray that there would be an unction and an impartation to build with excellence and to build beyond anything you've ever seen, greater than you could ask, think, or imagine in this hour, in Jesus' name.
Jesus' name. Praise God. Y'all go.
Yes.
Sweet, sweet. Love you and pray for you in the process. Thank you so much, Natalie. Hey y'all, it's me again. Before you go, let's solidify the flame that was ignited within you today by sharing the spark with your own community. Whether it's mentally, physically, emotionally, relationally, or spiritually, I would love for you to take the step right now by declaring your takeaway. Snap a pic of the episode and share it on your stories or posts, and you can tag me and the guest, and we will surely feature you on our Instas. Hey, you might even unlock a new accountability buddy in me or them. We're totally in this together and we appreciate the extra step taken. I would be so grateful if you even took the extra step. Come on, give me that extra sauce and leave a review on iTunes for the podcast listening app that is of your choice. I'm going to be featuring your thoughts, in fact, and it's going to be so fun in upcoming episodes. So you'll not only hear your name on the show, but maybe even your passion project or whatever big shout out you want me to make. So please, as a fellow writer, leave some words that I can attest to, and I can't wait to read what you have to say. Thanks again for being a loyal listener, and I hope to meet you in person soon at one of the events that we are speaking at or hosting. And I say we because the Fit and Faith team could not do this without you. Until next time, blessings over your joy, health, wealth, and wholeness. This is the Fit and Faith Way. I want to take just a second to thank the team at Life Audio for their partnership with us and this podcast. If you go to lifeaudio.com, you will find dozens of other faith-centered podcasts in their network, which is obviously why we got connected and are so grateful to be a part of the community. They have shows about prayer, Bible study, parenting, and more. Some of mine that I listen to on a regular basis are on Life Audio. Even some of our community members who have been a part of the Fit and Faith team through our coaching or different organizations, they're there too. So I definitely want to drive you over there, check it out, and thanks again, Life Audio, for being you.
Jesus wants our fears to launch us toward faith. Then he grins and says, "Do you trust me? Because together we can do this." With Mornings with Jesus, you can start your day in a positive way. Find hope through inspirational stories and scripture. Go to lifeaudio.com or search your favorite podcast app for Mornings with Jesus. You can also download the Abide app for biblical meditations at abide.com.